Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Josh here from RPG From Scratch, a podcast about creating and playing your own tabletop RPGs. Join me and the Homebrew Hombres as we talk about our experiences with the systems that we've played, dispense invaluable GM advice, answer the questions of people currently playing games, and involve listeners in the creation of our own world and game system that we're creating right on the podcast. Right now we're working on a D20-style tabletop RPG like D&D or Pathfinder called Artifacts, where great roleplay is encouraged by simple mechanics, where multiclassing is common and not just for power gamers and doesn't cripple your character, and where brand new characters can hop into the story with more powerful ones and still feel useful, and where you are in complete control of your own character's progression and can change the course of battle by leveling up on your own terms. If that sounds like something you'd be into, and you want to contribute as we build the game world and the mechanics, check out RPG From Scratch on the Nerdy Show Network and anywhere else you find podcasts.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the borough of Queens, in the city of New York, this is the Epic Podcast with your hosts, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer, the Dark Lord.
Hello, loyal listeners. This is once again the Epic Podcast, episode 72, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And we are back, I guess, after the longest hiatus we've ever had, I think.
By far.
Also, not entirely true. Not all of us are in Studio 6C.
That's also true.
Yeah,
Do you have a cute name for your location for this remote recording?
Yeah, this is the Studio Inwood.
Studio Inwood.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a cool tagline because you can't say in the beautiful, spacious neighborhood of Inwood.
No, I guess Studio One Eye.
That's cool. Those look good together.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. So should I do the intro again?
No, this is it. That was the intro. There are no do-overs.
No do-overs.
What are we gonna take 5 months and start becoming pros at this?
Yeah, I know. Why break with precedent now?
But seriously, 5 months
five
is our
months.
Our longest break.
Five
and it's funny
months.
Because we are now recording this episode after this long absence, and
yeah,
we don't even really know if we still have a job. Like, we might just be sending this. Do people who work for the Nerdy Show, are they even still alive? Like,
we
have been very negligent podcasters, not just to our audience, but to our bosses.
I've sent some carrier pigeons to the wasteland of Orlando, Florida, to check on the Mad Max style life that the Nerdy Show crew are sort of living in at the moment. And I haven't heard back yet, so, you know, no news is good news.
Great. This may be, we can put this in a time capsule that they will dig up after the pandemic ends.
Yes.
You know, and I should I'm going to go ahead and take the blame for this, that the reason why we have had such a long absence is largely my fault because.
Oh, okay, good. I'm glad you're taking responsibility.
Oh, no, I will own it.
Like, yeah.
Or, so since we started this show, it has always been my own personal agenda that one of the things that we are going to do to set ourselves apart from other podcasts where they have guests or talk about topics or whatever is that we would always record everything in person. We've never had a guest via Skype.
No.
We've only recorded when we could both be there. We've only ever recorded both of us when we were in the same location.
Yeah.
And we've only ever had guests when we could get them physically in our location.
Yeah.
And so even though remote sort of collaboration on projects has become the normal since the pandemic has begun, I've been clinging to this idea that, like, it's not going to keep going on that long. We're going to be able to get together and record an episode, and we can look back on that little blip in world history that happened in the spring of 2020 and carry on. And it just, the longer this goes on, it seems like that is less and less
so,
within the realm of possibility.
So you're basically confessing to be an audio snob.
I am absolutely an audio snob. I like I pride myself on the fact that we have quality production values and that we always have a live face-to-face, like,
even though 99.99% of all the podcasts out there are using Skype or Zoom or whatever sort of remote communication device they have to do their podcasts.
True, but not the ones I listen
clinging,
to.
Oh, please, come on. Yes, they are.
Okay, I'm clinging.
You're clinging on to this, I don't know, ideal of the perfect audio setup for all, what, I guess 17 listeners now? I guess we...
Listen.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 17. A few of them are now probably dead, actually. So we probably have fewer than that.
Oh, dear. A moment of silence for the dearly departed listeners, 17 and 16.
I guess I am a snob in that way, in that I am a real perfectionist when it comes to media production. And I like to take the time and do things the way that I think they sound best. And I feel that little things like that, I feel like the polish that comes with that sort of, I don't know, nitpickiness outweighs the convenience of recording a guest. I don't know.
You know what?
And since I'm the one with Pro Tools, I'm the one who, like, rules over these decisions with an iron fist.
That's also very true. Yeah, since you're the one who records and edits these, then you sort of have carte blanche in, say, how
the
this
software,
gets recorded.
The software is called Pro Tools.
Okay.
But yeah. So here we are.
Here we are.
Face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Now, and even though we are, so the audience can really put themselves in our pants.
Oh, jeez.
We are also FaceTiming while we do this. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got some sort of really sort of Rube Goldbergian janky setup going on here where I'm recording my audio separately than the FaceTime conversation. And he's going to link it up somehow, and I don't know.
With magic.
Son, I haven't spoken to you in a long time.
Well, I have kids now.
Is one of them named Nelson?
No.
And this has been the 72nd episode of the Epic Podcast, I Quit.
We'll be back in another 5 months with the remaining 7 minutes of this conversation. You know, I don't know if you heard, but earlier this year, a global health crisis affected everybody.
Oh, really? Go on.
Yeah, and was exasperated by our government's lackluster response to it. And
was this on Facebook?
Because
if it's not on Facebook, I don't really know about it.
Oh, it's on Facebook. You can mostly find everything you need to from non-fact-checked memes and poorly edited YouTube videos. So if you need any information, there's always some out there that will support your existing biases.
Is there a idiotic pushback on both the science and the government response because someone watched a YouTube video?
What did, have you already read this book? Because yeah, that's precisely what's happened.
Well, no, I just guessed it because, you know, hashtag internet.
Yeah, wow. it's astonishing. I mean, I don't even know where to start with all this. I mean, we start with how quarantine has affected our lives, and then how the sort of anarchistic pushback against quarantine has ruined my faith in humanity. Where do you want to start?
None of it, because I think it's been covered ad nauseum by better podcasts and better podcast hosts than us.
Probably with better production values too.
Yeah, needless to say, I don't think we've seen each other since maybe late February, early March.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw you, I met you in a train station. I was getting ready to go on tour in last February with MC Lars, and I met you in a train station to lend you a microphone.
That's not even remotely true.
Oh, no?
No, the last time we saw each other is when you came over to see my puppy.
Oh, that was after tour, because you got the puppy while I was on tour. That was the last time I saw you. I came over.
Oh, by the way, I have a puppy now.
You have a puppy. You have a dog. Man who has feared animals his whole life because of his deathly allergies.
So has a hold puppy. On. Let's backtrack because I think we're getting ahead of ourselves here. So
okay,
we did a podcast.
We've lost the rhythm. We don't know how to do this anymore.
So we had a podcast in December. I know what. That was like several lifetimes ago now.
Yeah.
We did not have a podcast in January because you went on tour and I was going on my honeymoon.
Yes. Right.
And so...
Yeah.
I know. So I guess, you know, this is old news now, but how was the tour?
If memory serves,
yes.
The tour... with MC Lars.
Yeah.
And then half of the tour was also the Double Clicks joined us.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
If memory serves, it was one of the most satisfying and successful tours by any measurement ever. It was amazing. We had great shows and people bought lots of merch and everybody was at the top of their game.
Oh,
and
nice.
Traveling with Lars was an absolute delight and doing shows with the Double Clicks was an absolute delight as well.
Oh, good.
And there were no hiccups or no problems. It was like, it was a flawless tour. It couldn't have been better. Yeah.
Awesome.
Which is great because, I thought that I was going to go on that tour and then I was going to start gearing up for a tour, in May 2020. And so I was like, great, I'm going to go home and work on some projects for a couple of months and go back on the road. That's what my new reality is as a full-time this. And so obviously the May tour was canceled pretty early into the pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm just grateful that the February tour was successful enough that I've been able to live off of it since this started. But yeah, it was a great tour.
Awesome.
Great. Shout out to MC Lars and to his wife, Ash Wednesday, who also, during this crisis, welcomed the birth of their first child, Atlas Robert Nielsen.
Atlas Robert Nielsen. Shout out to Robert Nielsen.
Atlas
Robert Nielsen.
How many of your friends do you call by their middle name?
Well, I'm going to start calling Robert by Robert now.
Except Robert Nielsen is already a person. That is Andrew's father.
Okay. where do we go from there?
I don't know.
Well, good. I'm really happy. I'm really happy that was successful. I'm always a little jealous when you go on the road, and I'm very glad that it was a successful tour.
Yeah, it was good. I couldn't complain. I mean, I could. I can always complain, but I'm choosing not to because good. I would really have to dig deep to find something that was complaint worthy.
Right.
That trip.
Right. 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 But the honeymoon was great.
And you went to Thailand.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I screwed up. I was going to name the wrong country and see how mad I could make you.
No, that's...
You went on your honeymoon to Luxembourg.
No, we went to Thailand, which...
Madagascar!
Interestingly enough, the coronavirus was just becoming like a big, big deal when we were there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So in fact, we spent a lot of time in Bangkok. And by the way, Lisa and I had a fantastic time there.
Awesome.
Really wonderful, lovely time. But God, it's fucking hot there. Holy shit. It is hot. Oh boy. And we were there during the winter and it was just hot. And it was a really, really good time. We spent like the first 2 weeks in Bangkok and then we spent like the last week in northern Thailand, which is, we went to Chiang Mai. And if I had to do this all over again, I would spend the entire 3 weeks in Chiang Mai. It was beautiful there.
Is it because that felt, Bangkok felt too much like a metropolis and too much like not being on vacation because you were in a big city?
Part of it, yeah. I think a lot of it was just, it was a major city. So it was a lot of the things that we sort of deal with in New York City. Like there's just crazy traffic, there's lots of people, you know what I mean? There's alleyways that are dark that you go down and you're, like, you're terrified you're going to get murdered, but at the end of it, you're going to get, like, delicious, you know, vegetarian, deep-fried, you know, goodness. And so it's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's culture shock, but it was definitely the most foreign countries we've been to so far. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't speak any of the language, you know, we didn't really know any of the customs. You know, there's a monarchy there, so like there's a lot of rules pertaining to the king, and but I think Chiang Mai, for one, it was cooler because it was in the north, so the temperature wasn't nearly as high, and it just seemed more laid back. Whereas Bangkok is a little more hustle and bustle. Chiang Mai was very relaxed, very sort of like easygoing. I think. Also, I think it was the place where we did the stuff that we love to do of our trip, of our memories. Those were the things we loved the most. Like, that's where we saw the elephant sanctuary. That's where we took a dinner boat cruise on an old converted rice barge. We took a traditional Thailand cooking class there. Like, it was a place where we did the things that we had the most fun at. So, you know, I mean, it's, we probably won't go back because there's a lot of countries out there, but if we did,
sure,
you know, Chiang Mai would be the place we go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you listen to that song a lot?
I did.
I knew it. I freaking knew it.
Lisa was over the joke halfway through the first time I played it. And I just kept playing it.
The city don't know what the city don't know.
That's right.
Is that how it goes? I know the devil sleeping next to
one night in Bangkok makes the heart man crumble.
Yep, that's how it goes. Yes. That's exactly how my memory of it goes.
Yeah, exactly. But I got to touch an elephant. I got to eat delicious food. We went to tons of museums, got a lot of culture and history. We had to get our temperature taken as we were both entering Chiang Mai and leaving Chiang Mai, and as we were getting on the plane from, because it's like a 17-hour flight. It took us like, because of the layover, it took us something like 21, 22 hours to get there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was this, and this was in January or February?
This was the last week of January and then the first 2 weeks of February.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that
was really when everything was starting to like surface around the world.
We basically escaped it. We were just ahead of it by just enough to not get sort of to not sort of catch it basically. But we did have to our layover was in Seoul. And we got our temperature taken a couple of times during layovers and stuff, you know, so it was a pretty big deal, that was developing when we were there. And then we landed in the US and then all of a sudden a couple of weeks later, it became a big deal here. So it was, we got very lucky that we didn't catch it.
Yeah. It's weird to look back on like times from just a few months ago and kind of watching this unfold in whatever way. You know, I remember like Andrew and I in hotel rooms on tour we'd be watching the news, and there would be, you know, it would be like the third item in the news. This virus seems to be worrying health officials around the world. And that never really seemed like anything for us to really take seriously. Yeah. But it started getting pushed closer and closer to the main story every time we would watch the news. So that when we were in the last week, we started being a little more concerned. And then it started to be like our relationship with audience members at the merch table is very hands-on. There's lots of handshaking and hugs. And giving people oftentimes way too much of our time.
Yeah.
And it was like we got in that last week, like the last few shows, and we were seeing the end in sight. You know, people would be coming up to the merch table that would be like coughing and sniffling and stuff. And we were like, air high five. I can't get around this table. We're really, it's crowded. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because then we started thinking like, maybe this is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny that you were like, it was probably curious to you. Oh, they're taking our temperature at the airport. This must be a serious thing affecting this part of the world.
No. Well, we kind of knew about it because we were, Lisa's very hooked into sort of like not only local and national politics, but she sort of like keeps her ear out to sort of international goings on as well. So she knew that there was a virus outbreak in China and that it was starting to spread. And that, the most north of Thailand was getting like, coronavirus cases. But we'd already at that time booked our trip. And so, you know, everything we read up to that point was that there were no real cases in sort of Bangkok and Chiang Mai. And so we said, okay, I think we can risk it. But by the time we got there, you know, it was creeping real fast. So
yeah.
I think we got out right on time. I think we got out, like, I think we'd stayed like maybe another week. We probably would have been engulfed in it.
Yeah, you know, and I'm very grateful that. I feel like even if it had happened in Bangkok or if it happened since coming back to New York,
if
the two of you had been exposed to it and you had come down with it, Lisa would have been fine.
Oh, absolutely.
She would have been like, oh, I'm inconvenienced. I have a bit of a fever and it would have passed. And
I would have been dead within days.
You would have been dead within days.
Yeah, I would have been dead within days. Absolutely. 100%.
The same with me and Bunny. You know, like, we've obviously have been very safe going out into the world too. And, you know, I'm very convinced that if she were exposed to it, she'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, she'll be fine.
But I'm doomed.
I don't know. I give it's 50-50 on you.
50-50?
I'll give you 50-50.
Why, because I'm scrappy?
Yes. Yes, you're run down, but you're stronger than you look.
Yeah, I'm like a truck where like the whole frame is like rusted out, but oh boy, it's got power.
Oh my God, you're the Millennium Falcon.
I am the Millennium Falcon. This is the best thing you've ever said to me. I can still make the Kessel run in under 12 parsecs.
That's right. She may not look like much, but she got it where it counts.
The garbage you'll have to do. So you got back, and then like we probably both got back around.
I got back. I got back
like 2 weeks after you.
I got back.
You said second week of February.
Second week of February. Third week of February, I flew right out again to Waterbury Center, Vermont, to do three performances of Cheating Death.
Oh yeah.
And I would love to take this opportunity to both thank the I'm blanking on the theater. Give me a second. The Grange Hall Theater in Waterbury Center, Vermont, for hosting me. I'm very honored to be part of their solo series. They extended such wonderful kindness and generosity. And I'd also would like to give a huge heartfelt thank to all 15 people who saw the show. You are the real MVPs. Thank you so much for coming out to support live theater. I don't mean 50 people each show. I mean 15 people total.
Yeah.
It was a lovely time. I just wish more people had come out to see it. Yeah. You have no idea what loneliness is until you are talking, you're doing a 6-minute monologue about how the death of your mother has affected or not affected your life in very sort of traumatic ways to an audience of three.
Wow. I know that portion of the show, too. That's rough in a packed house, but at least you have the comforting energy of like an audience with bated breath. But to three people, oof.
Three people, Sunday matinee. I could see all six eyes looking at me.
I don't know it with exactly doing a monologue about my mother's death, but I do know what it's like to travel more than 100 miles and put everything that I have on stage to perform in front of eight people, and then only to learn that like four of those people were sitting at the bar and they're the other band that's playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, I've done that many times.
Yeah. But, you know, again, it was well received. Everybody seemed to really enjoy it. Everybody seemed to be really moved by it. And, you know, and I got to do three more performances of it. So, you know.
Well, great. Bravo. I'm throwing virtual roses at the stage
where you stand. Thank you.
Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you.
Oh, I can't. It says poor connection.
Okay, I guess I'll hear
it. It said that for most of this conversation. It said the video will resume automatically when the connection improves. And I don't know whose end it's on.
It's not me.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying it's you.
Oh, that's the other person.
Yeah. So wait, should we wait till it improves or should we just keep going?
No, it's been like that for most of this.
Oh.
I'm looking at, there's like a darkened blur where your face used to be, and I'm pretending that I'm looking at you. But there's no movement.
I see you perfectly fine.
Well, then maybe my connection's fine.
Oh, maybe it is mine. Hold on. Shit, is my internet not working? Maybe my internet's not working.
You should be able to know that immediately if your Wi-Fi logo is up. You know, this is one of the things that...
Hold on, I found, keep talking.
I found this is one of the things that has been, we are in a new sort of renaissance of entertainment. I shouldn't say renaissance. It's like it's a whole new evolution of entertainment because the way we interact with people in the world now has been in Zoom meetings and musicians perform live stream concerts and everything is done at home. Even our favorite television shows, things like Saturday Night Live and all of the late night talk shows, everything is done from home. And I feel that a kind of one of the defining characteristics of this new sort of evolution in entertainment has been the charming jankiness of it all. Like everything used to be done like tip top professionalism all the time. You'd see these like glossy slick productions
and now you hear
Stephen Colbert's dog barking in the background you watch, you know, old people fumble around on a Zoom meeting trying to mute their microphone.
Yes.
And I feel like I just interrupted our show so I could talk about how the video's frozen and you troubleshot your Wi-Fi. And look, we're doing it.
Hey, we are part of the pop culture. We are the pulse of the pop culture lexicon. My friend.
Right. The remote showbiz vanguard. Also, by the way, the image is back, but now it's frozen. So.
Oh, okay. Give it time to catch up.
I don't know. I'm in no rush.
Okay. And then basically, we got a puppy and then we got quarantined.
Yeah. Let's talk about that puppy. So the entire time that I've known you, one of the, you know, if I had been on a quiz show and I had to name like three things about you right away, like one of them would be number one would be Batman. Number two would be that you have been on are deathly allergic to all things, including shadows, but especially animals. And you're so allergic to animals that you have exclaimed out loud in many public places on many occasions.
Sure.
That you hate animals. And then when challenged on that, you're always like, but they're trying to kill me.
Yeah.
That is the way you've justified an explanation, or that's the way you've justified or explained your hatred of animals.
Right.
Cute little doggos and Kit Kats.
Yeah.
You have exclaimed that you hate these evil creatures because they are actively trying to kill you.
Yes.
Which I know is just you being that rascal Nelson Lugo that you are, and that you don't really believe that they're scheming your death. You are just afraid of them because you used to go to the emergency room like twice a month.
Basically, yeah.
Because you would come in contact with a shadow. So now,
yeah,
you have a dog, and not just a dog, a puppy.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
This is some alternate timeline shit right here.
I know, we're living in a bizarro world.
Never thought I would see the day.
Well, I think at the last podcast I covered all of the hows and the whys and the wherefores. I'm taking allergy shots, I'm alcohol and medicine. So yeah, on February 28th.
And most importantly, mm-hmm. you are married to a woman who you love very much,
very
who
much.
Loves dogs very much.
Who loves dogs very much, yeah.
So you have subjected yourself to this allergy shot regimen, mm-hmm. and as well as all of this research to find the safest animal.
Yeah.
Largely out of your love for your wonderful wife.
I would say exclusively out of the love of my wife, yes.
Because at that time, a dog was not a thing that you could... It was too abstract of an idea for you to imagine having an emotional bond. Like, you were willing to do this thing for Lisa's sake.
Yeah.
But all of your... Everything that you knew was still telling you, this is a creature that wants to end my life.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll let her have a gun in the house, but... but I don't want to see that gun.
No. Not only is it like... you know, I will be okay with her owning a gun in the house, but she could shoot it off at random anytime she wants, at anywhere she wants. Before we picked up our puppy, you're right, it was very much an abstract idea like this. And everything we had done up to that point led us to believe that I would be okay, but there was no guarantee that I was going to be okay.
Yeah,
you know, like all of the shots and all of the medication could have been for nothing. Like it could have been, you know, my allergy could have been stronger than modern medical science. And so the days leading up to it, I was just becoming more and more and more just frankly fucking terrified. And hopefully I hid that from my wife. I guess she's going to be listening to this, so I guess the secret's out. But I was fucking terrified that this wasn't going to work and that she was going to have to A, give up this puppy we just got, you know, and B, she did a lot of work to be okay with the idea of never having a dog because mm-hmm. of me. Once I introduced the idea of having a dog, she slowly opened up her hopes and dreams and wishes to that idea. And then once we physically had it, to give that back would be tragic, would be absolutely tragic for her.
Unimaginable.
And so, you know, and I have to admit that first month was rough. And I think based on what I know from the breeder and from what I've read, when they're tiny little puppies, they still have microscopic hair and, you know, microscopic dander, basically. Yeah. When they grow past a certain age and size, that stuff gets less and less and less and less. So that...
It's worth... reminding our audience that you got a hairless terrier.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I got an American hairless terrier. They are a purely bald breed. So it's so unlike the Chinese crested or the Sholo Quixalic.
I'm enjoying you reciting facts about various breeds of dogs. That's I like how well read you are on the topic of murder beasts.
I am fucking well read, my friend. Those breeds still have some hair on them. The American Hairless Terrier is completely 100% bald, or at least the hairless variety. There's a coated variety that obviously has hair, but that's different. We didn't get one of those. And so that first month was really rough. I sneezed a lot. My eyes were red and itchy a lot. I took way more medication than I probably should have. But now that she just reached 5 months, I'm good to go. Like, I almost never sneeze because of her. My eyes never itch because of her. My medication intake is what I'm prescribed, basically. I'm just taking exactly what I prescribed and no more. So... it's looking like it's working. And
great.
Yeah. So, and you met her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is freaking adorable.
Thank you. She is. She's been in a pain in the ass today, particularly for some reason, but I don't know why.
I am longing for the day, and it's surely a long ways down the road, but I am longing for the day when you and Lisa can visit and bring Chance with you, because I want to watch my hairless cats meet another animal. Now, I know she's like, we can't visit one another right now because we're still in quarantine. And also, even if we weren't, it's probably a little too soon because she's still like getting socialized, correct?
No, no, no. She's fine. She actually has all of her shots. So she is good to go. She's had all her shots for like a month now. In fact, we're actually very worried because of the quarantine. We haven't been able to socialize her very much. You know, like she's not around a whole lot. She's not around people. She's not around other animals. We walk her to get her used to the neighborhood, and that's going well in fits and starts. But, you know, she's still woefully under-socialized. And we're concerned, you know, when this quarantine is over, when, you know, Lisa and I have to go back to, you know, what we do for money, what's going to fucking happen to Chance during the day and things like that. So, you know, we're still working that out. We have some ideas, and we're playing around with some possibilities. But when quarantine is over, this puppy's going to be fucking the most anxiety-ridden dog in the history. I'm almost certain that there's going to be articles a year from now about quarantine puppies, quarantine dogs, and how, like, woefully under-socialized they are and things like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, but here's a...
Well, that's great. Then she won't be an outlier. She'll be part of a community.
Right, a community she fucking hates.
Anxious virus dogs.
Yeah. I do have something to ask you, though.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, I will be Chance's godfather.
Oh, my God, that's exactly what we're going to ask you.
No, go on.
Well, here's the thing. Lisa and I were thinking, like, what happens if one of us dies or both of us dies, right? What happens to Chance?
Are you fucking kidding me? Is this really what you're asking me?
Yes.
Okay, go on. I was kidding.
No, we are not. We are absolutely not kidding. If something should happen to Lisa and I, we are very concerned about what happens to Chance.
Sure.
So obviously.
That's your child now.
Exactly. So we can't give it to her brother's family because his children are allergic to dog saliva, which isn't easily treatable, right? We can't give it to her mom and dad because they already have a dog who's very reactive and might not be the best fit, right?
Okay.
We can't really give it to her uncle because his wife is afraid of dogs. So that's kind of a non-starter. And there's like a possibility of another family that's like married in. But then we started thinking kind of outside the box. I can't give it to my sister because she's allergic and her kids are allergic. And I don't want to put them through that. The only other logical person on this list is you.
Wow.
You have hairless animals.
I do already. Yes.
So when you're gone during the day, they can keep Chance company so she doesn't feel so alone all the time. Mm-hmm. You already know, you've always wanted a dog.
True.
You know, and for whatever reason have taken cats because I think they're easier, maybe. I don't know. And so Lisa and I would like to know that should something happen to us, will you please be Chance's owner?
Oh my goodness. I am so deeply touched and honored, and this is a wonderful request. The only reason I would be hesitant is because I'm not allowed to have dogs in this building, but in the event that I'm not living here when, if something terrible should happen to you and Lisa, I would definitely adopt Chance.
Awesome. I will let Lisa know.
Okay. And even if I am still living here, I'll figure something out.
Yeah, please.
I mean, I didn't have dogs a working oven really for 9 months, so my landlord owes me.
Yeah. Yeah. You may have to pay $100 more a month.
Oh, for crying. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, I mean, Chance is great. You know, we're teaching her tricks and taking her for walks and socializing her when we can. And She's growing really fast. She's much bigger than when you first saw her.
Wow, yeah. And, I mean, I'm watching pictures online.
Yeah. And hey,
do you ever eat, are you ever eating something? So Chance, I would imagine, is probably pretty fascinated when you eat people food.
Yes.
Do you ever, like, you're like, all right, I'll give you a little nibble of it, something. You break her off a little something every now and then?
No.
No?
No, zero.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good. Yeah. You're putting your foot down.
Yeah, well, because otherwise she would be begging every time. Every time I wanted to put something in my mouth, she'd be at me begging.
The only reason I ask is because you're denying yourself a wonderful opportunity to say a funny thing.
What's the funny thing?
Give Chance a piece. Yeah! Kid still got it!
That was stupid.
It was worth it. It was worth it. I stand by it. I'd do it again.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, having a puppy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the past, God knows how long this quarantine has been going on so far. 11 months. Has been challenging. She takes a lot of work, a lot of patience.
Yeah.
A lot of diligence, a lot of, you know, dedication, a lot of work. But, you know, it's not a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, is what Lisa likes to remind me.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's not going to be like that high energy and that anxious forever, just for several years.
Oh, no, no. She's going to be basically like this until the day she dies.
Oh, no. She'll mellow in her age.
Which will be 15 years from now, 16 years from now.
Oh, my God.
Lisa, if you're listening to this, she will never die. She will live forever.
From the moment that I opened my eyes, I got a good feeling in me deep inside that it's gonna be a great day, simply divine. I pull back the curtains, take a peek outside. I'm like, ooh, hot dog, what a glorious sight. The sun's shining bright, there's not a cloud in the sky. There's no fog, no smog, no pollution, no noise. Just endless opportunities for me to enjoy. So check it, I get dressed and bounce out to the street. It's like 70 degrees with the song so sweet. All the birds above me singing as they're following. All of them, so many birds, it's like it's all of them. And all the bugs are buzzing, all the flowers in bloom. And I can't imagine being back inside of my room. I'm just feeling so happy that I'm dancing around. Today there ain't a thing that's gonna bring me down.
Everybody's gone. What? All of them, all of the people are gone. Everyone you've ever known has left you alone. They have all left you and gone. Everybody's gone. All of them, all of the people are gone. What? Everyone you've ever known has left you alone. They have all left you and gone.
Today, Satan, take it away. There's not a thing you can do or say to get in my way. Cause I'm flying high and I'm on top of the world. I got a brand new attitude, I'm giving a whirl. Slipping down the street, getting on with a start. While I'm skipping to the beat of the song in my heart. I got a summertime treat running through my mind. Getting ice cream sweet, standing in no lines. Every light says walk when I reach it. No one's honking horns, no tires are screeching. And the train's already waiting for me. There's no crowd shoving in, take my favorite seat. I put my headphones on, play my ultimate jam. Let my thoughts drift away to the adventures at hand. Reminded why I'm loving life like I'm reciting the least. I can't remember ever feeling so at ease and at peace.
Everybody's dead.
What?
All of the people are dead.
What are you talking about?
Everyone you've ever met and all of the rest. Everyone everywhere dead.
Wait, everybody's dead?
Everybody's dead. All of the people are dead.
What?
Everyone
How?
You've ever met and all of
Why?
The rest. Everyone everywhere dead.
Oh my God. Well, wait, then who are you?
I'm the voice in your head.
And who am I?
You're the only person left not dead.
And what you mean by dead?
I mean dead.
Dead?
Dead.
Like all of them?
All of them.
All of them?
Dead.
Huh. Well, fuck it, I'ma have some fun and do all the shit I ever wanted under the sun. Like raid the cops, confiscated drugs and go crazy. Hotwire a Ferrari, crash it into Macy's. Moving the museum with the Brontosaurus fossil. Kill an 8-inch monologue at Rockefeller Plaza. Go to town and burn a tower down like it's my studio. And then record the track at the Mix Palace Studio. Paint Lady Liberty in purple, I'm there. Kick it with the coyotes running round Times Square. I swear, it's just the best damn day, no question. Asian, dressed like I'm Agent J, living like I'm legend. Everybody's dead, all of them, all of the people are dead. Everyone I've ever met, and all of the rest. Everyone, everywhere, all of them dead. Everybody's dead, all of them, all of the people are dead. Everyone I've ever met, and all of the rest. Everyone, everywhere, all of them dead.
Oh, at last.
Did you know that the Epic Podcast is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network? And did you know that the Nerdy Show Podcast Network is home to dozens of other programs that are also surely relevant to your nerdy interests? Well, both of these bits of information are all the way true, friends. Swing by nerdyshow.com and see what treasures await you. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser, or subscribe via Spotify or Stitcher. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. At patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can fund the entire Nerdy Show Network and unlock a plethora of amazing bonus content and early releases. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
So you have both, I assume you are both working from home. You and Lisa are both working from home during the pandemic?
Yeah, remotely, yeah.
So so that's why you're both always around, and that's why Chance has both of you around all the time.
Yes.
How are you? How have you been coping with the cabin fever of it all?
It has its moments. Some days are better than others. Like, I mean, here's the thing. I'm like you. Left to my own devices, I would choose to be a recluse, right?
Sure.
But it's also like a recluse on my own terms. So if I need to go out and get something, I'm going to go out and get something, right? Like, I'm not agoraphobic. Is that the outdoor fear?
Fear of, open spaces, groups of people.
Yeah. So I'm not like, you know, I just don't like being around people. I like being inside and with my stuff and things like that. But this is like that without it being on my terms. So it just becomes, it's difficult because, how do I describe this? My office is my kitchen table. Mm-hmm. And so I'm never, ever more than like 6 feet away from my office. Mm-hmm. And then when work is done, I'm never more than 6 feet away from my office. Like, it's like the couch is 2 feet away. My computer is like, I can't get there's no separation between, you know, the thing I do for money and the thing that I do to relax from the thing I do for money. And yeah. So like, it's meld, all of these worlds are melding together, and it's a little, I think I hit a wall like a couple of weeks ago where I was just exhausted all the time and just a bit blue all the time. But now I think I'm kind of like in a routine and, you know, figuring things out, like doing little things throughout the day that help sort of break up the monotony. And Lisa has it kind of better in that, you know, most of her stuff is like Zoom meetings with other colleagues. And so, you know, she can do that while she's in bed. She can do that while she's sitting on the couch. She can do that while she's in the kitchen. Sure. You know, me, however, I can't. I don't have the luxury of sort of moving around like that. So I kind of have to sit there all day and work on whatever it is I'm working on.
Yikes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not easy for both of us. We're doing the best we can. Luckily, we really like being around each other. So, like, that's not
that's
not really a problem. So, you know, I think if there's any tension between us, it's got nothing to do with the fact that we've been around each other a day. It's got to do with, like, actual marital
circumstances things. And events.
Yeah, like two people coexisting as a married couple problems rather than being around each other all the time problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Bunny and I, like, I mean, you're right. You're accurate that I would, left to my own devices, I would prefer to spend most of my time alone.
Yeah.
So for me, like, the initial part of this pandemic was like, this isn't really all that much different than what my life was like.
Same.
You know, since I was doing this all the time, my plan was that I would be home for like a couple of months between tours. And when I'm home, I don't frequently go and see people or go out much. I stay home and I make things all day long and then prepare for the next tour and then go on the road. And then after the road, I'm beat and I want to come home and just hide out at home and make stuff for the next couple of months. So at the beginning of this, it was great. It was like I'm basically being ordered by a health crisis to carry on.
Carry on.
And like for the first, I don't know, maybe 4 to 6 weeks of it, Bunny was here all the time too. And that was great. We were having a lot of fun, like kind of redecorated the apartment, paid in a bedroom. And she was still working on things she was working on, and I would still find time to work on things. We had this great rhythm and it was built up. And that was, I mean, that was excellent. It was working out very well. A few weeks ago, she went back to work. I guess it's been about a month at this point. She went back to work. And she's still not publicly talking about what her new career is yet, so I can't really say.
Yeah,
but
So
she's been, but she works like 50, 60 hour days, some, or 50, 60 hour weeks sometimes. So she works a lot.
Yeah.
Which at first was kind of great. I was like, I have more time to even be louder and record more frequently and not be self-conscious that somebody's listening.
Sure.
But I think the novelty of that has kind of worn off. And now I feel more and more like Howard Hughes every day, because it's not just because now I'm very lonely, because now I'm like, I've, you know, for the past 4 weeks, I've spent the lion's share of my time completely alone. And she will come home and tell me stories like basically of the outside world, as though she's gotten on a boat from like the new world. And she's like, I talked to people today. And I'm like, oh my God, does everybody, like, is it still mostly like two arms, two legs, or have we evolved? Like and so that's kind of weird. And then she'll come home at the end of the day and she'll tell me these like adventures from her exploits during the day. And I'm like, well, I set up a microphone. I recorded myself saying poop and fuck a whole bunch of times. And the cats are annoying, and the voices in my head get louder. How are you? So it's getting a little bit weirder. I've been very busy making Patreon content and making. I've basically said yes to a million guest like projects. So I've been working on stuff for that, both music and video, and I've been doing lots of live stream concerts because, again, we are at the forefront of the new remote showbiz vanguard.
Yep.
Those things have been great, and they're like. They're very satisfying, and all of these various projects are very satisfying, and I love that I have all the time to do it. But I feel like some of the magic of that is starting to kind of like dull a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it's like I you know, I just did a live stream concert, and that, you know, at the beginning of this, that was like, that would like just power me through the next several days. And like the morning after it, I'm like, what am I gonna do now? I just want to like sit in a bar with like somebody else and talk some shit. I never thought I would be so longing to be around people, because I so notoriously don't like being around people. But it's starting to get to me.
Yeah, it's I find it I don't know, it's a challenge. I find it very challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as is so much of the country.
Yeah, and I mean, luckily Lisa and I have like this puppy to sort of break up the monotony, you know, and we kind of like are, we have found common ground in a common evil that is a 5-month-old puppy. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure, because I haven't, your picture paused.
I'm here.
And so, you know, thank God we have like this puppy to pour sort of like our time and energy in. But yeah, it's like, I mean, I think...
Yeah, my cats are getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like, I really miss sitting... Like, I'm feeling, you know, I'm getting a little... I mean, I like that we're doing this. I like that we're sort of, like, trying to, you know, recreate this podcast the best way we can. But, like, not sitting in Studio 6C, it just...
Yeah.
It feels, I don't know... It feels like there's something missing, but
yeah.
I think maybe that's more like us imposing that rather than actually being that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, there's so much. I keep thinking of all the things that I used to try to get out of that I'd be like psyched about. You know what I would love to do right now? Go to a fucking wedding. That would be dope.
Shit.
Weddings, and I'm not saying this about your wedding. This has nothing to do with your wedding. But yeah. Most of the times weddings are like, it's usually kind of an obligation you can't really get out of. And it's, you got to go hang out and all, there's all this pomp and circumstance and to do and getting dressed up and dancing and hanging out with people you don't know. Holy shit, would I love to go to a wedding and be around a bunch of strangers right now and be like, you want to see my dance moves? Let's go to the buffet. I want to sit outside and take selfies in my slick suit. Like, something about that just sounds, especially now that the weather's getting warmer.
Yeah.
I feel like this is getting worse because it's getting warmer.
Well, the good news is that, and I guess this is only relevant for people who live in New York, but Cuomo has basically okayed gatherings of up to 10 people, so yeah. Long as they maintain some social distancing.
Yeah, let me talk about that real quick. So all of these, I live in this neighborhood called Astoria in the borough of Queens.
Yeah, finish your story, because I think my story is the same.
So starting, a few weeks ago, several of the bars on the street that have obviously been closed since this whole thing started, they started opening up for like to-go service. Like, you can't go into a bar and hang out, but you can go up, they'll like set up like a little window in the front of their store and they'll sell you like a beer and a to-go cup. And so the young people who are all cooped up and itching for some socialization have all started like flocking to these bars. But like every week, like a new one opens up, or every few days a new one starts doing that. So up and down this street, like right, like just a couple blocks from my apartment, there are like four or five bars that are doing this. It's Memorial Day. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Oh,
so they've
shit.
All just been opening up and like serving beers to people. And people don't like get their, they don't go up and get like a martini and take it home. They all just like gather on the sidewalk and talk to their friends. So Bunny has often referred to 30th Avenue now as the French Quarter, because when you walk down the street among these four bars, there's just like a crowd of like 100 young drunk people just all milling about on the street, having drinks. Nobody's wearing a goddamn mask.
Yeah.
Everybody's just wasted. And I know that everybody's like frustrated and cooped up and they just want to get out, but they're making these incredibly dangerous conditions like out on the street in a city that is the national epicenter of this outbreak.
Yeah.
And that just makes me crazy. Like, I get it that we all have cabin fever, but like, I don't know. I see people doing that in like sort of remote places where they don't have a lot of, in sort of remote places where they don't have, huge numbers of infections or huge populations.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are frustrated. Like, I had to wear a mask once to go to Applebee's and I'm mad. I thought I woke up in America. And like, yes, Angie, settle down. You're going to be fine. But these are like young people who are like seemingly like, politically involved and
or at least informed,
tech savvy, informed. And they're just out there wearing masks around their neck and getting shit faced and stumbling around on a crowded sidewalk that I have to navigate in like my full fucking gear. And that's incredibly frustrating. It is also incredibly frustrating that other people in the country are not only not taking it seriously, but have now turned to they're now just echoing the words of their orange hero by sort of suggesting that this is all a hoax. It's all been exaggerated, that the scientists have some sort of bias against a political candidate, and this all made them to look bad. And they're all just fucking gobbling up all that garbage like on InfoWars and vomiting it back online. And it has been astonishing to watch an all-out organized non-educated assault against fucking science like this. I mean, it's not anything that's terribly new, but to see it in this
real time,
concentration and in this much fury online by people who are making like analogies to that they're having their rights stripped away.
Yeah, my body, my choice.
Right, because they have been at the very most inconvenienced.
Yes. My neighborhood isn't that bad. But because there aren't any bars in my neighborhood per se, and the ones, well, there are a lot of them, and the ones that are not open. That's just not a thing that they're open and doing. But there's a lot of green space in my neighborhood. And
well, that's nice.
It is nice, except like no one's really wearing a mask. Everybody's walking around fucking like coughing on each other. And like it's a weird mix of people who are all who are either walking around in like fucking full hazmat suits, mm-hmm. you know, with like a mask and a face shield and gloves. And they're all like they're wearing parkas in the like in the heat. And like I'm like, all right, do you? And then there are people who are like. Like me, who are doing like what essentially what New York City government has been suggesting, wear a face mask. You don't need to wear gloves, just, you know, wash your hands or use sanitizer, what have you. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then there are people who are just like wearing their face masks as headbands or neck warmers or earmuffs. And then just people just out and out just don't give a fuck and just nothing.
So, it's like, you know, when you like wander around and like, anywhere on Halloween and you see like these lazy dudes who are like, oh, I'm going to a Halloween party, so I went and picked up this mask. But then they don't really wear it. They just kind of perch it on top of their head and they go out to a bar. Yeah, that's the way people are wearing face masks at these like little on the sidewalk speakeasy parties on these bars. And it's like, why did you even bother? Just open your mouth and I'll come up and sneeze because you're not even trying. That's your neck is not going to collect any droplets of virus. Or maybe they're logged into like, maybe they're like members of the same Facebook groups all these people I went to high school with are that are now actively sharing articles about how face masks aren't really going to protect us from anything.
Goddamn fucking.
Because, you know, fucking fuck you, science.
Right. Fuck you, science.
Well, the world's leading like infectious disease expert has been saying masks for weeks, but he, you know, but Trump doesn't like him anymore. So masks don't really work. Oh my God, that shit is the thing that's making me the craziest.
Yeah.
Being like, we could make this end pretty easily, but.
I think you and I can organize some kind of like couples meetup. Like you, me, Lisa, Bunny, we meet at a park, you know, we stay comfortably apart from each other, but at least be in physical presence, you know? I think we can do that much.
You know, I called, I made a call yesterday, like a Facebook Messenger video call to a fan of mine upstate because it was her birthday and her friends had organized this birthday party for her. And they're like, oh, we're meeting up now. We're going to this birthday party. And I was excited to like, you know, wish a fan a happy birthday. But I was also anticipating like, I'm going to be looking at a bunch of people getting fucked up in an apartment. And I'm going to be like underneath my skin's going to be crawling because I'm going to be like, you guys are not doing it. They open up the video and like, they're outside and they've built like this little tent and they're like barbecuing and there's like a dozen of them there. Everybody's wearing masks. They're all standing like 10 feet apart from one another.
Yeah.
And I was so touched that somebody was doing it.
Yeah.
And she was thanking me. She was like, oh my God, thank you so much. It's so great that you called. And I'm like, no, it's not me. It's your friend. You've got really great friends. And she's like looking over at him off camera and she's like, oh my God, he's great. I wish I could hug him.
Aww.
And I was like, even people celebrating their birthdays who are young and probably getting drunk are still aware that there's a crisis.
Yeah.
But every freaking Karen from Madison County, Iowa is just losing her goddamn mind.
I need my hair did and my nails done.
They told me I had to wear a mask going to Hobby Lobby. Not in my America.
All right. Let's change the topic. Let's talk about some important quarantine things. So what foods have you made during the quarantine that you wouldn't have made otherwise?
Because
I'll tell you right now, Lisa and I have been experimenting with shit.
I haven't made a lot. Banana bread is about like as fancy as I've gotten. Bunny has been experimenting with cooking lots of various different things.
Yeah.
And she's been killing it.
What have you had? What has she made?
Well, last night there was this this amazing pasta with mushrooms and a cream sauce that had fresh basil that she's growing on the windowsill in the kitchen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's growing various like things in the kitchen now.
Lisa loves nothing more than puppies and basil.
Why was that not a consideration for a name?
Because she refuses to name any dog of hers a food item.
But it's also a human name.
I know. Trust me, I know. And she's listening to this. Well, that's awesome. We tried to grow a basil plant, but we killed it.
Oh. Well, I mean, I think there's a few things growing in the kitchen. There's garlic and there's basil, but the cats definitely cannot stop fucking with stuff. So, yeah, I'm talking about you guys.
Well, Lisa and I, we got a pizza steel as a wedding gift, and we haven't used it since we got it ever, and so we finally made homemade pizza. So you know, she made dough and sauce, and we put on toppings, and we made delicious pizzas on our brand new, well, I guess relatively brand new pizza steel. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's probably the best pizza I've ever had, hands down.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's saying something.
Yeah,
such a great food.
Yeah,
you know, we've made Bunny has made a few times. I got her this. One of the things I got her for Christmas was one of these baking pans, like a muffin pan, but they're in the shapes of skulls. And she's baked pizzas into those a few times. So it's like, you know, 3D, like a spherical skull. Yeah. And you pull it apart and just sauce and guts ooze out of it.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
That's a fun eating experience and also delicious.
I love it. Yeah, for my birthday, she made me pizza and cinnamon roll. Her cinnamon rolls that she makes for the holidays.
Yeah, your jam.
Yeah,
because they're fucking
they're
insane.
They're fucking insane good. They're so fucking good. Jesus Christ.
You know, you asking this question about food like reminds me of something that I wanted to ask you, which is how, what have you done? What have been some things that have stuck out that you've done for entertainment during quarantine? Like, what is some of the stuff that you have consumed online?
I know
y'all watch a lot of competition baking shows, but you've got to have watched something other than.
Well, actually, we are binge watching The Wire.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's the Wire is kind of like, as far as television series go, like also kind of like my Lion King in that I've never seen it, and nobody can believe I've never seen it.
Well, I've never seen it either. She saw it when they first aired, like way back when, but she's forgotten most of it. So we're going back and we're watching The Wire. Let's see. We watched The Marvelous Miss Maisel, the Amazon Prime show.
Yeah.
It is fucking delightful. I love it. What else? We are currently watching Miss America, sort of women's rights.
It's got Cate Blanchett, right?
Yeah. Cate Blanchett is amazing.
She's my favorite.
She's amazing in it. What else? I'm making her watch Downton Abbey.
Okay.
Which she is not 100% on, but there's enough of it there that she keeps coming back.
Okay.
And we started watching, well, I think we also like binged Schitt's Creek during the beginning of it, but we basically blew that pretty fast.
Oh.
Yeah. What about you, buddy boy?
Some reason I've never watched Schitt's Creek, and I don't know why, because I love that whole sort of fraternity of funny people.
You would love this show.
Yeah.
You would get a kick out of it. I mean, a lot of people say that it's a slow burn, and I don't really understand why, because I was hooked from the first episode.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't understand why people say it's a slow burn. I really don't.
I have not heard that criticism.
Yeah. Well, that's
it's definitely like on my short list of things to watch.
Then it gets a high recommendation from me.
Great. I've almost made my way through all of the episodes of Forensic Files on Netflix, which is like nine times. It's about 450 episodes. That's not really an exaggeration. It's somewhere in that ballpark. And so now I'm just like watching whatever crappy true crime nonsense I can find on demand. But I'd say like among the best stuff that I have watched so far, I mean, the best thing that happened to me all quarantine is that Beastie Boys story was released. And we were going to go see that because it was going to do a limited theatrical run in IMAX theaters
when
it came out, when it was scheduled to be released in April. But obviously that didn't happen.
It didn't happen. I have not watched it yet.
I've seen it, I think, 5 times.
Oh, wow. So it's good.
I've actively sat down and watched it beginning to end 3 times. And then 2 other times, I've just put it on in the background just so I can listen to my friends talk about their music while I'm setting up like lights and drums and stuff in my apartment. It's so freaking good.
Is it good?
It's so freaking good.
Good.
It's so good. It's so, so good. And I cry every time.
Is it, does it have anything to do with the book? Is there like a tie-in with the book at all? Or is it like its own separate?
A little bit. It's still just like these two guys telling their story, and they break the story. And it's when the book came out, they did these live shows in New York in front of audiences and where they were kind of like doing like a two-man show with like they were telling stories from the book, and the chunks, the story's like broken up into chapters. Some of those chapters have the same names as chapters of the book, and it's all like they're standing in front of like a slideshow, and there's like audio video elements, and there's like kind of little jokes and pranks that are written into it. Like things don't work during the show perfectly because it was kind of like Adam Yauch's jam. He loved making things look like they were broken. And it's just, it's freaking wonderful. I mean, obviously reading the book is not required to watch it. It's still a very clear linear explanation of their history as a band. Mm-hmm. And it's really goddamn charming.
Oh, good.
It's well put together. It's excellent. It's excellent.
That's on Apple TV.
Apple TV Plus. Yeah.
Okay. I don't have that.
I don't either.
Oh!
Oh my god! And then I think I told you earlier today, I just started watching the first season of the Harley Quinn animated series.
I'm going to. You sent me a clip, and I think I'm hooked. It was like right after this, I'm going to try. Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Yeah,
I love Lisa with all my heart. And there are many things we have in common, many, many things. One of the things we absolutely do not have in common, like are diametrically opposed, is she cannot, will not sit through any kind of superhero, animated, spider, bat, super, wonder, Avenger, sure, assemble thing. She just can't. She just doesn't care about it. And not only doesn't care about it, actively dislikes it.
Yikes.
Yeah. In fact, the few times...
And I'm not saying yikes because, like, I mean, I understand. It's so much of that material is so exhausting to watch now because we've been so saturated with it. I would not actively have gone out and seeked out this Harley Quinn series because I don't really care to watch an animated series. I have comic book fatigue. And I don't need to see more material from the Batman universe. So I get where she's at.
No, I get
it.
Go
on.
So getting her to watch anything like that is just damn nigh impossible. The fact that she even saw some pop culture movies with us, I think she saw Solo with us. Solo was Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, that's unfortunate.
and I think she was doing that because, like, she loved me, she wanted to support me, but, like, at this point, she's like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I need to find time to watch that because I feel guilty consuming media by myself. So more often than not, we are trying to find things we can watch and enjoy together.
Uh-huh.
But there's tons of stuff that I wish I could just watch on my own. Now, she's not keeping me from watching it on my own. She doesn't particularly care. But I personally feel guilty about consuming any kind, like watching something on my own that's not like sitting next to her on the couch. So
I need to
find out and carve out time to do that, which...
Well, it's an animated series. The episodes are, like 25 minutes long.
Sure.
You could if she's like on a Zoom call, then you could like slip away to your magic room and watch one. I'd heard some things about it and I wasn't really all that excited because again, superhero Batman fatigue. But... I mean, it's got kind of a look like the original Batman animated series, except it's incredibly violent and they swear constantly.
Yeah, I think the 2 minute clips you sent me had
it's,
like...
It's It's funny and it's well written and it's feminist and it really kind of like takes apart so many of the nonsense tropes that we've accepted from the Batman universe. Like Batman and Jim Gordon are these just obnoxious like idiots that are in the way of everything.
Oh wow.
And all the other villains are also all just kind of narcissistic morons, but Harley's like the hero of it. And she just, I mean, I've always wanted to like, I think see as something animated and have Harley Quinn turn to Joker and say, "What the fuck, Mr. J?" Like it's, I just love how much swearing there is. And how like in the first episode, she like shoves bombs down guys' throats and they explode.
Jesus Christ.
It's really cool. I'm like, I've kind of been thinking, I just watched the first episode last night. I've been thinking about it all day and I can't wait for Bunny to get home because I'm going to be like, how was your day? Sit down. Let's watch more Harley Quinn.
That's fair.
But yeah, the short episodes, you could choke one down really quickly during a work call.
I absolutely will. I will find that. I've been reading a lot of comic books, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, it's weird because I don't think comic books, I mean, I haven't really looked this up, but I don't think printed comic books are being printed right now because all the shops are closed.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, they still probably mail order, though.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you know, because I've been buying digital comic books for the past... like 8 or 9 years now. Like I can count the amount of physical books I've purchased with one hand. No new books have been available digitally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're not, yeah, they aren't making anything.
Yeah. Well, that's not true. DC Comics is doing something that's called DC Digital First, which is you can only get them online.
And my God, DC, stop.
No, but it's part of the Comixology, right? So it's like,
but sure.
They're not part of the continuity. They're not part of it. Like, they're basically...
They're just stories. They're like one-off stories.
Each comic book is a standalone story.
That's great.
Yeah.
Those are nice and digestible. You don't feel like it's this huge, like, time sink
and
investment.
Exactly. And they're very cheap. They're like 83 cents an issue. And they come out, like...
That's great. I guess when I say DC stop, it means like them constantly trying to brand some sort of their digital thing. Like, there didn't need to be a DC streaming service. Come on. Relax.
Yeah, I'm not. I love DC. I can't justify spending more money into yet another service. Like I'm already getting CBS Plus from my brother-in-law, and I'm getting Disney Plus from my sister. You know, like if I knew somebody with a DC Universe streaming service who wants to give me their code, I will gladly accept it, but I am not spending more money on yet another streaming service. I'm just not.
Yeah. It's too much.
It's too much.
There's too much.
It's too fucking much. I can't do it. I mean, we're about to cut the cord on cable because, you know, chance is expensive.
Wait, do you have Spectrum cable?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Then you can watch Harley Quinn.
Oh. Well... Just like you can't watch
I know.
Beastie Boys documentary, there are ways. but yeah, pretty soon, I guess once the city opens up again, we're going to need to put Chance into some kind of like daycare situation. And that's going to
be costly.
That's going to be costly. So...
Oh wait! One last thing that I consume that I want to share with you. I many years ago we both very very much, very much loved a comic book series called Lock and Key.
Oh yeah,
it was so good. It still remains like one of the best, like
yeah,
complete stories beginning to end.
It was pretty
that
pretty
I've ever
spot on,
that
yeah.
I've ever read. It's such great mythology and a great story. Netflix produced and released a
I've seen
live
that.
Action. It sucks.
Does it? Okay.
No, I'm not going to say it sucked. I'm going to stop. I've made like this goal that I'm not going to say that things are good or bad anymore. I'm just going to say how I feel about them.
Okay.
Because the thing is, if you say that something sucks, if a million people say that something sucks and one person says, I enjoyed it, then 1 million people are wrong.
Yeah.
So instead of saying that it sucks, I'm going to say I cannot express how much I did not like Netflix's Lock and Key series.
Really? That disappoints me so bad.
I was so disappointed. There's elements of it there, but they just gutted it with their screenwriters just gutted it to make it a digestible television series.
Yeah, I was wondering, there's some decent performances
and there's some decent elements that were like, and it seems like whenever anything from the books happened, it's kind of like an homage to people who read the books.
Sure.
Like a little nod to them. Sure. Like, hey, recognize this thing in this story that you don't recognize. I just thought it was a mess.
I didn't understand how it got greenlit as a Netflix series, because that story is so comic book. It is the quintessential definition of a great comic book story.
Right.
That can be told episodically and with speech bubbles and thought balloons and frames. Like it's such a distilled, great version of that medium.
Mm-hmm.
And
similarly to the original Watchmen miniseries.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't like the Watchmen miniseries?
Also, what's that?
You didn't like the Watchmen miniseries?
No, I mean the Watchmen comic book series.
Yes.
Did I not like the Watchmen HBO series is absolutely wonderful.
Okay.
But I'm saying that like Watchmen, the original like Alan Moore Watchmen, similarly to Joe Hill's Lock and Key,
yes,
is like a perfect use of the medium of comic books that was very difficult apparently to adapt.
Yeah,
to
you
a
can get away
format.
With things in comic books that you just can't get away with in any other medium. You just can't. Yeah. It doesn't translate the same way. I will say this, I did watch, and this was some time ago, maybe I didn't mention it earlier, but Umbrella Academy on Netflix is fucking fantastic.
I have heard.
It is absolutely wonderful because it strays away from the source material. It's like this weird, it's so weird how comic books, it's either hit or really fucking miss. Like there's no middling ground.
Yeah.
With filmed adaptations of comic books. And Umbrella Academy is a good example of a comic book that everyone really fucking loves. I thought it was middling, you know. It was neither good nor bad for me. It was a comic book. But the Netflix adaptation, mm-hmm, really good. There's some parts that are like huge kind of question marks, like, huh? But overall, I really enjoyed it.
That's similarly to how I felt about Scott Pilgrim movie versus the Scott Pilgrim books that were the source material.
Yeah.
Those books are like, eh. But the movie just like took all six books and just cut out all the chaff and just packed it in and made it nice and tight.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Made it look like a comic book. And I thought that was very effective.
Yeah.
So that sounds kind of similarly to what you're saying about Umbrella Academy.
Yay. Oh my God.
Listen, Chuckles, we're about to have a crisis because I'm getting battery notifications from my phone.
Oh shit. Okay. So let's wrap this up.
We probably should. We are at about 80 minutes right now.
Perfect. Let's wrap this up. I think.
Great. I'm sorry to do it so suddenly, but I don't want us to like have to put off recording an outro when my battery is not about to die.
Okay, good.
Oh, it just came up again. 10%.
All right, here we go. So, folks, we are going to end this episode rather quickly. Hopefully, this
will
be...
Wait. I got 10% left. I just want to say, hey, it's been really great talking to you again.
Fuck, it's... goddamn, I miss you so much.
Yeah, I miss you. And I look forward to actually being able to record this properly again in person.
Yeah.
And off show, we should definitely talk about some sort of distanced outdoor public couples meetup.
My dog needs to meet more humans.
Oh, I've gotta just let me hold her. Just let me hold that sweet little angel.
Okay. I don't really have anything to plug. Do you have anything to plug?
No, please, like, sign up for my Patreon. We'll put a link in the show notes because I am doing one full-length live stream concert from my living room at the top of every month, and then in the middle of every month I'm doing like a six-song live stream show on a given Sunday afternoon on Facebook. So those are the things to best stay in touch with what I'm doing. But Patreon is what...
You should let me do a magic act for your Patreon.
Okay. I'm not going to say no to content. You want to do a magic act for my Patreon?
I'll do a magic act for your Patreons. All right. I have nothing to plug.
I have nothing to plug. I have a bunch of shows booked this summer that got canceled. So yay.
Same.
Same. But yeah, sign up for my Patreon and then come watch me do rap shows in my living room. I got special effects and hairless cats.
Yeah, your living room concerts are getting crazy, and I fucking love them.
Yeah, they're bananas.
They're cuckoo banane, as I like to say.
Oh, I didn't know that you were multilingual.
Yes, cuckoo banane. That's it. So, folks,
awesome.
You're welcome. Here's an episode for you. We hope it was worth the wait.
Oh my God, I've been waiting my whole life for this outro. It's the best.
You know, send us an email if you're still listening. Let us know if you want more quarantine editions of the Epic Podcast, because we've figured out the technology to let it to have us happen, and maybe we'll have a guest. Who knows?
Who knows?
But that is it. This has been episode 72 of the Epic Podcast. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Be safe, internets, and I fucking mean it. Be safe. Wear a mask. Don't go outside. Don't take needless risks. Be fucking safe out there.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast. We'd love to listen to you, too. So send us your feedback, questions, love mail, hate mail, recipes, and fan fiction to epicpodcast@gmail.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser, or subscribe via Spotify or Stitcher. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you wait first? Do you know which episode number this is?
Not even remotely. Is it like 73?
I think it's 72, but let me look.
Okay.
I like that I have to search our podcast online to find out where we are.
I know.
Yes, this is going to be 72.
72. Okay. Okay, sounds good.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.